I'm Simon Elms, creative director of the radio documentary and feature unit in the BBC.
What is the name of the programme nowadays? Is it still feature?
We are called the documentaries unit, which is just a way of describing the sorts of programmes we make. We actually make a lot of different programmes. Some of them I would call a feature. Some of them are more documentary in style. Some of them are magazines, actually. We have a regular programme, which is a weekly magazine programme about people who've just died. So it's an obituary programme. So we do quite a big range.
Which are the main subjects you are dealing with?
Well, I suppose we do... I mean, it's now and then. We do quite a lot of programs about reflecting in feature ways stories from contemporary Britain. They can be very offbeat in the great style of the pre-Europa and so on, the beautiful introspective programs. But they can be more journalistic programs. But we also do quite a lot of history programs about the past of world history. And we're doing just about to start a big series on democracy, which is quite a dissecting what democracy is, how it started, where it is now.
And how many time slots you have per week, maybe?
Well, the way the BBC organises its programming is we don't have many dedicated slots. Almost everything we do is competitive, so we have to bid for programmes for slots. But we are given a guarantee of perhaps 50 half an hour documentary slots a year, possibly a few more in various parts of the day. But exactly where they appear, they is a scheduling matter. So we have a guaranteed maximum, which gives us enough income to keep our team in work, but we also can do more than that. That's a minimum. It's what we call a minimum guaranteed slots.
And who's programming your features?
The network. The way it is organized is that the networks to which we work, and we're a production unit working to the main speech network in the BBC, Radio 4, but also to the classical music and cultural channel, Radio 3, to the BBC World Service, and also occasionally to the Middle of the Road music channel, which also carries documentaries, Radio 2. So each network programs, schedules their programs where they want them to fit, and they have a commissioning structure. We have a commissioning editor to whom we talk all the time. So there is a strong divide between program makers and the people who schedule them. But we have one strand of contemporary stories called Lives in a Landscape, and we're presenting one here this week, which I'm responsible for, where we have two series of five programs each year, 10 programs, where we choose the stories. They are our decision, and we schedule them how we want within that run. But normally, that isn't the case. And then there are about, in any one week, I calculated there are possibly 20 or so documentary-style slots available to producers.
But you are not the only department.
No, there are about 100 suppliers. Independent producers, lots of it, many, many independent producers, in-house suppliers like ourselves. We're the biggest documentary unit in the BBC, in radio, but we have regional department in Bristol and in Birmingham and in Manchester. They can supply as well. They're part of our department, but they are autonomous in terms of production. The religious department is separate from us. They produce documentaries. The news and current affairs department produce documentaries. So there are many, many people who can supply these slots, which are run by the network. That's why they have a scheduler and a commissioning editor to control. It's a very strange system. Mm-hmm. And they like to plan the networks how they best capture the listener. So for the listener, they hear a strip of programs of the same sort across a week, but so documentaries at 11 o'clock, but we supply a certain number of those. So it's very different from many other radio stations.
Mm-hmm. And what is the speciality of the features of your department comparing to others?
Well, as I say, we specialize, I think on average we make many history programs. I think that we make too many history programs, because I think that that the BBC is too retrospective. I think that stories that capture the now are more, and my editor feels likewise, that we, so I'm very pleased that we have now changed the emphasis a bit to make more programs about contemporary society, and as I say, lives in the landscape is something I'm very proud of, because we've been running it now for 6 years and it's developed to be our number one documentary slot for us and also for the network.
As a historian, can you say when it changed the, in Germany you always talk about the famous talks and features department was the mother of all feature and the feature form, and when does it change to documentary?
Well, I mean, in the title doesn't mean anything really. I think it was they changed the title in about 2000. It became formally the documentaries unit, simply because people understood the word documentary and they didn't know quite what a feature was. And everybody would say, but that isn't a documentary, that's a feature. And it was a way of saying, OK, let's all call them all documentaries. And there was no politics attached to it. Mm-hmm. But I like calling it features, because I think that features define a certain sort of dramaturgy, a certain form of elusive, sideways looking at stories, which is what documentary is slightly different from.
Can you tell me something about the producing of a documentary from the beginning to the end?
Yeah, it's the normal way. You have an idea, you develop the idea, you say to...
Who has the idea, the author or you?
The producer. We do not use the word author, you see. The person whom you understand as to be the author is the program maker or the producer. We call them producer, or possibly the director in your case, but we call them producers. And the producer has the idea. Sometimes it can be a writer or somebody or a presenter, but usually it's the producer who has the idea, possibly in collaboration with a presenter. And you come up with an idea. You know how ideas are, they come from anywhere. And then you develop the idea and think, wouldn't that be good? Sometimes you brainstorm them with colleagues, and then once that idea is in a form that you, every so often we have meetings with network, we then formally propose that. It happens twice a year. It's a very formal process, because with 100 suppliers it has to be very formal. And they say, yes, we're interested in those, and they reject a lot of ideas. They're very short form idea. And then, if you're lucky, you go through another process of discussion, and eventually you offer your idea, and perhaps 15 to 20% of your original offers get accepted, as few as that, possibly as few as 10% sometimes. Then you get a schedule, and the program is scheduled at some point in the future, probably a year ahead. And at that, and so over the next year, you have, if it's a fully fledged document, you have 15 working days as a producer to make that program. It can be spread anywhere. You can 15 working days, you know, half a day here, an hour here, and gradually, but it's so. I may be working on 6 or 7 different programs simultaneously at various stages. And eventually, 3 weeks before transmission, every program has an executive producer who collaborates in terms of the idea, discussing how you might interpret that idea better, or how had you thought of doing this, etc. It's a quite normal process. And also, who oversees any legal or editorial compliance issues, because we have to be very, very careful these days about editorial compliance. It's a very, very big issue in the BBC, and we have an electronic compliance form which has to be completed for every single program, and it goes through just every single aspect of that. Is there any bad, strong language? Is there any less strong language? Are there any living people of famous people in it? Are there references to any products or brands? There are about 30 questions the producer has to fill in, and also the executive producer has to sign it off as being agreed that this is compliant, is the word, because we are legislated for. There is the Office of Communications, which is can fine the BBC, you know, nearly a million euros if we make a bad mistake. There is a process, a formal process. So there are lots of different elements to making a program, not just the creative one.
Mm-hmm. But if I understand it right, there is one guy from the idea to the studio to produce it.
There is one person plus the executive producer with whom they share the idea, and the presenter, because most of our programs have presenters, and they're not the German style narrator. We would have somebody, it could be somebody famous, because the network likes to have famous people presenting their programs. They could be comedians or famous historians or people who have a reputation, and the BBC is rather excessively keen on having famous people presenting their programs. It can be a politician. We have a famous ex-Conservative Party politician who used to be in Mrs. Thatcher's government, who is now presenting our series on democracy. I mean, he's turned into a media star. And we have a lot of people like that. I work with a famous comedian called Lenny Henry, who's now stopped making comic programs but makes documentaries for me. We pay him no more than we would pay you or me. He gets the same fee.
And the producers normally are freelancers or employees?
All in our department, they're all in-house. They must be in-house. Mm. They're part of the documentaries unit.
But no freelancers?
Not anymore, no. The freelancers, they work through independent commercial, independent production companies who also supply the BBC, because we have a big independent commercial supply sector.
Yeah. And how many producers you are?
About 23. Including the executive producers and the editor. So it's quite a big unit.
And just different to Germany, I think.
Yes, very different.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Pleasure.